Welcome to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To find out more about our upcoming shows or access to our more than 1,500 podcast episodes, visit our website at www.biteradio.me. Today, my special guest is Shannon Christie, and we will be talking about her new creation, Sun Steeped, a golden hour infused affirmation deck. Sun Steeped shines the light on your innermost selves, exploring themes of wonder and new beginnings. The deck consists of 54 uniquely illustrated cards, each designed to guide a gentle and friendly inquiry into the user's inner world. The cards explore themes of childlike wonder and new beginnings, offer affirmations that challenge negative self-perceptions, and explore newfound determination, self-realization, and a loving awareness. The 64-page guidebook aids in capturing the transformative moments of sunrise and sunset that encourage and inspire us to grow into our most powerful, capable selves. Shannon Christie is an illustrator and mental health care worker living in Portland, Oregon. Born in Southern California and transplanted to the Pacific Northwest as a child, she attended the University of Oregon, where she majored in psychology and minored in music and studio art. She received a Master's of Science Applied Psychology from Sacred Heart University. Her work is highly reflective of her background, exploring themes of identity and emotion, while incorporating elements of whimsicality and surrealism. For more information, you can visit Shannon's website, which is www.shannon-christie.com, and that's shannon-christie.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Shannon to the show. Good day, Shannon.
Hi there. Thank you for having me, Robert.
You're very welcome, and I do love your deck. I have many, many decks of cards with all different kinds of themes, but truly yours is unique, so I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm really glad to hear that.
Great. You're welcome. So now, let's just start with my show is about inspiration. So what inspired you to create this deck?
Oh, man. I created this deck. It was actually 4 years ago now, it's 2021, and we were just kind of starting to emerge from sort of the pandemic lockdown. And one of the things that really anchored me throughout the entirety of the pandemic was hiking. My best friend and I were in a little pod together, and we would, I think, at least twice a week be outside hiking. And being able to do that was highly dependent on the weather and whether or not it was sunny enough to go out. And I remember being on one of these hikes and just having so much gratitude for where I was in the Pacific Northwest and having such easy accessibility to nature in the way that I have still. And I remember being on one of these hikes, and I had generally wanted to make a deck at some point. This moment kind of happened where I was like, you know, I was on this hike and, you know, the sun was out and it all just kind of came together, and I wanted to create basically an entire thing dedicated to the sun, to the thing that, you know, allowed me to get through this really, really difficult time.
Yeah, and it's something that everyone can relate to and be able to bring more of that into their daily lives. So what do you feel makes this deck different from from your standpoint, how do you feel that this is different from what is out there?
I think there's a couple factors that come into play. One is that I really couldn't find other decks that were dedicated almost entirely to the joy of the sun and sort of these more lighthearted, positive aspects of daylight and being out in the world, you know. And I think I mostly found decks revolving around the moon specifically, and I completely understand why.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to go a different direction. And then yep. I also really wanted to have this deck be as accessible as possible. I have lots of people in my life who have a million decks, and I have lots of people in my life who have absolutely none. And for a lot of those folks who had absolutely none, my deck is the first deck that they've ever owned now. So I love the idea of kind of having this like gentle foray into decks and using decks, because it's just been such a powerful tool for me in my own mental health, my own, you know, journey for planning my goals and my dreams and schemes and all that stuff.
Yeah. It is, like you say, a very gentle way to work into the idea of using a deck as an adjunct to one's wellness kind of process. Now, this particular one uses affirmations. I mean, it's a golden hour infused affirmation deck. So tell us your view of affirmations and why you chose that, you know, as an approach.
Yeah. So I think, again, it's a lot about that accessibility. I felt like affirmations were kind of the most like blatant in your face thing. You know, it's giving you ways to think and feel in a way that's for a lot of like Oracle decks out there, it relies really heavily on symbology and visuals. And, you know, it might be you draw a card and it's just one thing. It's just, you know, a flower. It's just the moon. It's just this, that, or the other thing. And I think that there's a lot of different ways to interpret that, of course. And I think for people who are brand new to this kind of inner working when it comes to working with decks, I think that people can kind of get lost in the sauce. So I think that, you know, that really came into play as I was making these affirmations. I wanted things that I didn't want to tell people how to feel necessarily, but I wanted to be a lot more of a warm handoff into this kind of exploratory inquiry. I often call decks spicy Rorschach. And I think that, you know, this is the most gentle spicy Rorschach I could have offered as my first deck.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I did note in the introduction about your degree, your education, you know, in the area of psychology, which was mine when I was back in college. So I can appreciate kind of bringing some psyche understanding, you know, into the deck and trying to, like you say, gently move people toward, you know, a more positive outlook of what's happening in their life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you understand the struggle of psych grad school. Yeah, it was quite the saga getting that. Yeah, I mean, I've been really grateful to have the career that I've had so far. You know, I haven't worked one-on-one with clients in quite a while. I'm more in the like organizational structuring side of things at this point, administrative side of things. And despite that, I still have quite a bit of interfacing with clients. And I think one of the biggest takeaways has been like trauma-informed care, trauma-informed language, trauma-informed culture. And that came into play making this deck as well, is, you know, having wording that felt like somebody could ease their way into some of these more deeper subjects or things that might be touchy for them to look into for themselves. So I was very deliberate in my word choices and making sure things feel like invitational and consensual and, yeah, just overall very, very warm.
I can understand that. And, you know, that is a wonderful seed to plant, you know, in people's minds when they're going through and just in a sense of query as to kind of what is happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to train foster parents actually specifically in, you know, one, how to like take in foster kids, of course, but one of the sections was about trauma-informed care. And I think about this one specific like example that was used in my training, which was that, you know, people who were sitting in a waiting room waiting for a doctor, an assistant would come out and say, the doctor is ready to see you now. Or they could walk out and they could say, are you ready to see the doctor? And I think that there's a really, you know, it's really nuanced. It's really small. Some people might interpret that as very nitpicky, but it does make a difference in somebody saying, you know what, yes, I am ready to do this, you know, and get up and do that. So there was a lot of that like thinking as I was picking these words as to, like, how do I make sure that this is an inquiry that somebody can feel ready for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, take what serves, leave what doesn't, in a way.
Yeah, yeah. And that, like you say, some people may think it's nitpicky, but, you know, it's very nuanced in the sense that you're placing the onus on the patient or, you know, the person doing the inquiry or searching. You're putting the responsibility on them to, first of all, recognize whether they are or aren't ready for what's coming next, and then mm-hmm. that if whatever is to follow is in their court in order to make happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the way to go when it comes to really difficult subjects overall, difficult happenings, difficult events, you know, is making sure that people feel ready for their integration.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in the beginning of the guidebook that you have accompanying your deck, there was one part in the beginning you talk about being enamored with opposing forces. You know, the light, the dark, the sun, the moon. I was just curious to, you know, if you could maybe elaborate on that, you know, the idea of opposing forces.
Yeah, I think about the phrase, like, two things can be true at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that might not make sense as a blended thing. You can't explain these two things in a way that maybe even necessarily bridges them entirely. Sometimes you just have to be satisfied with the fact that, like, two things are opposites, but two things are equally valid, and they can sit beside each other. Maybe there's always going to be some kind of something that makes them forever different from each other, but you can still appreciate them for what they are. And I think the most, you know, in this case with Sunsteep, the most blatant thing is, you know, the sun and the moon, you know, and so the sun has very golden, warm, you know, inviting energy that I've kind of put into this whole thing. But I thought about, as I was making it, what I guess the moon meant to me as well in this case, in which I was making the sun out to be this one thing and I was making the moon out to be this other thing, where it's a lot more, you know, dark and broody and contemplative and quiet and mellow. And perhaps that's an idea I will pick up someday. I wanted all these things that I thought about with the sun in this one. But even though I focused entirely on this one, doesn't mean that the influence of that other thing wasn't there. Does that make
right.
sense?
Yeah, yes, it does. Yeah. Well, there was one card that kind of incorporates or introduces in a way the dark. And that one is card number 23, I think. It says, I nurture myself when I feel the dark. And for many people, you know, who are feeling the dark side of life at the moment, that's a card where you can direct them to the importance of self-nurturing.
Yes, and actually making that card, I recall, was actually a little difficult because I was, you know, for the most part, like, tapping into this very, like, lighthearted, playful energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want, you know, some cards to ground it down a little bit. And I think that this is one of those cards that hints at that duality, that light can help dark, dark can help light. And that in all of it, like, you have a right to care for yourself in the ways that, you know, feel best to you in those moments.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, in the disclosure part of the beginning of the guidebook, you mentioned, you know, that you're not a therapist, but that people can use the deck as a way to supplement their daily wellness practice. So why did you feel it important to include that in the beginning?
I think that we, as time goes on and things get, you know, things have been more polarized than ever, and, you know, the news is scary and all that stuff. I think that mental health care is needed more than ever. I remember I had a teacher in high school, actually, he was my psych teacher and my economics teacher. In the middle of his economics class, he went into this little psychology spiel about how he felt like everybody should see a mental health provider like you see a primary care physician. You know, you're going in as a preventative thing, and not when things hit the fan. And that's really stuck with me. And that honestly might be one of the subtle things that led me in the direction of psychology, that, you know, your mental wellness is something that deserves to have preventative care just as much as your physical self. And so I, you know, it was kind of my way to generally put in there that, like, you know, if you're thinking about seeing a mental health provider, definitely see a mental health provider. But I would never want somebody to, like, lean exclusively on these cards. And I would never want to position myself as someone who could provide some kind of replacement for that, since I'm not licensed. And I, you know, I hold that in a lot of integrity. I want to make sure that that's very clear to folks.
Yeah, it is important. I just wanted, for the sake of the podcast, for people to recognize that, you know, coming from you. Now, also in that area was the idea that not everything can be solved by the power of thought. So, you know, all of these affirmations, you know, are fine and dandy, but they, you know, in and of themselves don't solve things.
Yes, I definitely see, I think one of the more, I guess, toxic aspects sometimes of more of these, like, holistic or witchy or kind of environments is bypassing, you know, it's all love and light kind of culture. And it's not, nobody's really grounding down in things that are rooted in reality or practical. And I know with Sunsteeped, it's very, very focused on, you know, being light, being happy, being joyful. And I did want to explicitly state, you know, that there's full understanding on my end that, you know, life is much more than that, and that this is, you know, one piece of the grand experience of being a human being, and that, you know, I don't want people to get lost in this, like, fluffy side of it. You know, when there's practical action that needs to happen, then practical action needs to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that is one of the things that was one of my big to-dos about the law of attraction. You know, the idea of, you know, you set out with this intent to attract, and that's all you do is think about it attracting rather than taking any action to bring it into being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really have to meet your manifestations halfway. you know, and I never want to bypass, you know, that there's a lot of suffering out there, and that, you know, you can't manifest that away. You know, I do have some, you know, beliefs about, like, when you're working hard on something, that hopefully the universe is conspiring in your favor with you. But, you know, I've seen the more toxic sides of this, where it's like people have really, really terrible things happen to them, and they wonder how they attracted that terrible thing. Or, you know, if a good thing doesn't happen to them, they go, well, maybe I wasn't, you know, maybe I wasn't law of attractioning well enough. Maybe I wasn't manifesting well enough. And, you know, of course, there's a million reasons beyond that as to why something could have happened the way it did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the artwork. it's beautiful artwork. I mean, how would you describe it? Is there in your studio art kind of mind, you know, how would you describe the type of artwork you created?
It's definitely a blend of a lot of things that have inspired me over time. I think the easiest way to sum it up would be, like, contemporary illustration work. You know, there were a lot of inspirational forces with that. To be honest, I do feel like this deck was a bit of a departure from the normal stuff that I did. I do a lot of, honestly, black and white line work and a lot of really tight patterns in a lot of the other work I do. But I got this inspiration for this deck, you know, like I said, while I was out hiking, and, you know, I was thinking about how to approach the art. And black and white line work really just didn't feel like the thing that would convey those messages the most appropriately. It didn't feel like the most sunny way to go about things. You know, so I started researching more about, you know, shape work, and, you know, what does it mean to do stuff without direct line work, kind of framing it all. And this is kind of what came out. So it's somebody who's really used to, you know, again, that tight line work, experimenting with something very different from that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good description of the artwork. And I really like, there's one in particular that just you know, as I was going through and looking at all of the cards that just stood out and I really liked. And that is the one with the message, I had my strength within me the whole time. And it's a woman with kind of holding a sun with a spiral in it and a third eye. So tell us a little bit about that one. Again, because that one just stood out as far as having so much symbology in it.
That's so funny. I actually have my deck in front of me right now, and I like was looking for that card, and the very first card I grabbed to try and find it was that card. I love when that happens.
Me too.
Yeah, with this one specifically, I think about you know, how adversity can shape us into who we are, or that it does shape us into who we are. But I think that there's sometimes the darker side of that is this idea that, like, you couldn't have gotten to, you know, the strong, independent, powerful person that you are without those events. You know, I don't like to think of the idea that, like, you know, that adversity, like, directly gave that to you, and that you are beholden, or, you know, you owe it to some degree. You know, I think that strength can come in a million different ways and can be activated in a million different ways, whether that's through lighter or darker means. And I'm not intentionally trying to have all these like sunny, light, dark puns here with my deck, but it just keeps happening.
Right.
but yeah, so just this idea that there's a lot of roads to becoming fully manifest and becoming a strong person. So I wanted to have this card convey that, you know, that's always there. That's always within you. That potential is always yours, you know, and that will come out in the ways that, you know, it will, but it's not because of one specific bad thing that happened to you.
Yeah. I really like that because, you know, one of the things that often got me pondering was the idea of strength and the idea of, well, from my show, I've been doing it for like 14 years now, and there are so many times that the guests or authors will have the strength that they had that they didn't know that they had was, again, being drawn out from a traumatic or very difficult situation. And, you know, I often thought, you know, wouldn't it be great, you know, to be able to have that recognition of strength without having the drama or the trauma or the negativity to draw it out?
Absolutely, yeah. I want it to feel like, I like the idea that strength is an internally generative thing, you know, and not an externally bestowed thing.
Yeah, very much. Now, one of the things that I often find interesting when it comes to decks is the cover side, or, you know, the basic, I don't know what you call it, the front side of the deck, you know, the one in that's consistent throughout all of the cards. And in yours, it's a cup of tea. And I thought, that was very interesting. And then I came upon the one of your cards was, I take my emotions out for tea to help me see what I need to see. And so I thought, I wonder if there's any connection between that. So tell us about, you know, why you selected that image as the one kind of to be throughout the deck. And maybe did it have something to do with that particular affirmation?
I'm glad you caught that connection. That was one of the first cards I actually made. I want to say it was maybe card number 3 out of all 54 of them. And it was based on advice I was given, which was that essentially when you're feeling escalated, when you're feeling all sorts of big emotions, you know, take on sort of this more Buddhist philosophy of like being the observer and not the participant. But the way that they had phrased it was, you know, take your emotions out for tea, maybe lunch. And so I included that in there as a nod to them. But that was definitely, I think, one of the pivotal things that made me think about sort of this teacup motif, you know, across the art on the cards, you know. And there's, I think about, you know, how you can make tea from the sun, that you steep tea in the sun, you make sun steeped tea. And that, I think all those things just kind of connected in that, you know, the warmth and the power of the sun can generate something this beautiful and can generate this sort of contemplative moment with a cup of tea. And that, you know, when you're feeling very escalated or in that kind of heightened state, that this can ground you.
Yeah. One of the things I usually do when I'm looking at a new deck is one of the first things is, of course, that image, which is, you know, because when, as a creator of the deck, you know, you have control over which image is going to be, you know, kind of throughout, or on every card throughout the deck. And I'm often curious as to the selection process, you know, that one goes through for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was definitely connecting these parallels of, you know, the warmth of the sun and the warmth of a cup of tea, that, you know, mm-hmm. the sun warms your body, but when you drink tea, you know, it's warming internally. And so putting those things together for me kind of created this all-encompassing sensory experience. And it's actually funny you bring this up, just because yesterday I was thinking about preparing for this podcast and thinking about, you know, podcasting in general, that I was about to, you know, start being on podcasts. And as I was thinking of that, I was at my art collective, and like somebody came in and they had a big jar of Sun Steve's tea, and they were like, "You want some tea?" And I was like, "Oh my God, yes."
Yeah, it's wonderful when life kind of presents those synchronicities. You know, whenever they happen to me, I just smile and say thank you. You know, that it's you know, you're showing me that I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's a good thing.
Absolutely. I think about I'm very inspired by Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic book. I read that thing, I think, at least twice a year. And I, you know, she talks about like creativity being a scavenger hunt. You know, that you're looking for all these synchronistic clues that would lead you to your, you know, your next creative love affair. And I really take that and just apply it to everything in general at this point, that life is one big scavenger hunt, and seeing these synchronistic things happen, you know, makes me, like you said, it feels like, you know, that you're on the right path, that the universe is, you know, saying hello or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you're where you need to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I know for me, whenever that happens, years ago, whenever that happened, I would always take a moment, stop, and say thank you, you know, because mm-hmm. for a while there have been many times I wasn't sure if I was on the right path or, you know, where I should be. And so whenever you can get any kind of confirmation, to me is, you know, something to be thankful for. And and then I also noticed too, when I took that moment to say thank you, to stop and say thank you and just kind of give that moment its place, that then there would be more happening, you know, as a result. It's kind of like my gratitude was recognized and returned many fold.
Yeah, I feel like it's a moment, you know, when you say thank you, that it's you becoming a bit of a co-conspirator with the universe, that you see it and you're noticing it and you're having this formal moment of like, yes, I do notice and acknowledge you, and yes, please, more.
Exactly. More.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned something about idea of, you know, searching for those synchronistic or coincidental moments and leading to discovery. One of my favorite of your cards is the one that was the affirmation, "My sky is full of constellations I have not yet discovered." And to me, that really opens the idea that there is a whole lot of possibility out there yet to be discovered, but it also takes me, you know, to search for them.
Yeah, it's, you know, you have limitless possibilities, but as you're, you know, I guess selecting your North Star and what you're wanting to follow, it does narrow things down a little bit. You know, I think about, I recently read 4,000 Weeks by Oliver Berkman, and he talked about how when you make a choice to do something, you're saying no to a lot of other things. But saying no to a lot of other things is a good thing. You know, you're finding your path. But, you know, as you're figuring out what is yes and what is no, you should feel like things are limitless. You should feel like, yeah, your sky's full of constellations you haven't discovered yet, that everything could possibly be for you and that you get to be the agent that decides what happens in your life.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and I like the recognition that, you know, there are limitless possibilities, but also as you make decisions, you weed out many possibilities, you know, as you're finding your direction. And, but to me, that's okay. I mean, it's like the world of possibilities was set before you for you to choose the path. And, you know, none of them is wrong, but it's whatever you choose. By choosing, then again, you know, you kind of take a baby step forward. Again, there are limitless possibilities, you know, so it's a series of decision making from, you know, a universe of possibility.
Absolutely. And I think that comes in big and small ways, whether that's how you plan to spend your day versus the major you're choosing. If you choose to go to university, you know, I picked psychology, which meant that, you know, I was saying no to mathematics and biology and physical therapy and all these other things. But that was a very joyful thing to say yes to, and a very joyful thing for all those other things to say no to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Now, how do you feel that people, what are the different ways that people can use the deck? You know, what are different approaches that people may want to take when using or getting the guidance from Sunsteep?
I think the interesting thing about making a deck that is, you know, was intended to be very, I guess, beginner friendly, is that I get to see people use it in a lot of ways. You know, I have friends who keep it with them, you know, and they'll like pull a card a day in the morning as a way to set intentions for their day. You know, my partner and I have an adventure van that we're converting, and I plan to have it with me as like a way to anchor myself into, you know, I guess myself and my creative practice as I'm, you know, going to all these different places, you know. And then I have my, you know, very, very religious grandmother who every evening she told me on the phone yesterday that she pulls a card after she reads her scriptures. And I was like, that's so witchy of you. what a convergence of things.
Yeah, that is. Well, you know, but that just shows the broad appeal to what you created.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very glad that it's had that effect. You know, to set an intention and then to see that manifest, of course, is always very satisfying.
It is. And before we started the podcast today, I went and pulled one card to see kind of what was the message for the podcast, you know, overall. And the one I got was, I get inspired by the world around me. That is so perfect.
Yeah, that was very simple and sweet.
It is. And since my whole podcast goal is to inspire, you know, and to highlight those who are inspirational, that does seem to be, you know, perfect for the case. So
that is awesome. It's in your podcast name.
Yes, it is. It's right there. So, Shannon, what do you hope that people are going to get from using Sunsteep?
Oh, that's a good question. I think what I hope for is for people who are maybe have been closed off to their inner selves, that maybe there's things that they've been, you know, afraid to inquire into more with themselves, or, you know, if they're just generally excited about the idea of, you know, exploring their own consciousness, you know, that this is like a very friendly way for them to begin that journey, that, you know, these are very, very welcoming and like sitting down with a friend for tea kinds of cards, you know, and that in taking that step in the direction of, you know, pulling a card a day, a card a week, whatever, that you can kind of just gently, people will be able to gently open themselves up more and more to asking deeper questions about themselves and what they're hoping for, what they're looking for. I honestly love hearing about people's dreams and their goals. I love hearing about their bucket lists. And so that came into play with the deck as well, where it's like, can somebody pull a card and then think about that more and then realize that there's something that they've always wanted to do or accomplish that they haven't done yet. Those are like my favorite stories. So what I'm hoping is, yeah, that it's an invitation. It's an invitation to explore yourself more.
Yeah. Now, I noted that large majority of the cards start with I, like I am, I take, I seek, I have, you know, so it's really kind of predestined that the individual is going to take ownership of whatever message they receive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very individual. This is a very individual process and an individual journey when you're asking yourself these kinds of questions. And so I hope that these cards are an invitation where if they see, you know, I am, I had, I allow, that they do think about that, and they're able to say, you know, yes to letting that kind of empowerment in.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I do have to say, kind of in closing, while we were having this conversation, I had the box of your deck opened and the lid kind of just, you know, turned upside down. And on the inside of the lid is a statement, peace can be found in the present moment. And so that message has been staring at me throughout the whole. So I thought that was, you know, that too is a very comforting and empowering kind of message.
Yeah. I really, it was the publisher's idea to put that specific statement on the inside of the box. And I didn't know it until I received like my personal copy. And so when I opened it and I saw the message, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I just received my own affirmation. You know, it was a nice surprise. So, you know, brownie points to Wiser.
Absolutely. That was very intuitive and very wise of them to do. So,
yes, well, very wise of Wiser.
Wiser. Well, Shannon, this has really been a joy speaking with you about your new Sunsteep deck. And I really want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that you wanted to chat about my deck. I'm very proud of it, and I'm very excited that it's out in the world. And this has been a lovely conversation. So thank you, Robert.
You're very welcome. And I'm sure you'll be getting stories, you know, as it gets out into the world. So I hope you share those on your Instagram account so that I can see them when they pop up.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. For anybody listening, please bring on the stories. I love them.
Great. So everyone, again, today, my special guest has been Shannon Christie. We've been talking about her new creation, Sunsteep, a golden hour infused affirmation deck. And again, you can find out more about this as well as Shannon's other works, which, by the way, Shannon, your gallery is full of wonderful images. So,
Thank you.
You're welcome. Everyone, you can visit that at www.shannon-christie.com. And that's shannon-christie.com. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.